Hello everyone, I'm Mark Cooper and welcome to our latest Rethink Energy podcast. The renewables transition is rapidly accelerating. Global installed capacity of solar, onshore and offshore wind is predicted to quadruple between 2021 to 2030. And herein lies the challenge. The renewable sector is already struggling to find enough energy workers with the skills needed to maintain current progress. In actual figures, McKinsey predicts the global renewables industry will need a total of 1.1 million workers to install wind and solar plants, and another 1.7 million to operate and maintain them by 2030. Solar Power Europe reported last year that for the EU to meet its energy security targets, in 2030 the bloc must employ over 1 million solar workers, twice as many as in 2021. With a massive scaling and expansion, a looming skills crisis is posing a serious risk to the energy transition and, in turn, climate goals. Why is there such a big skills gap in one of the most dynamic and fastest growing industries in the world, and what do we need to do to bridge this gap? Joining me to discuss this are Sander Bozic, Head of HR for EMEA, together with Jose Viscard, Head of Grids for EMEA. I hope you enjoy this episode, and don't forget to check out other podcasts and content at rethinkenergy.com. Welcome to you both.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to this podcast. And it's a pleasure to be here today.
Thanks, both. Now, we have quite a lot of ground to cover, so we'll jump straight in. And I'll go back to those McKinsey figures. I mean, they find that between now and 2030, the renewables industry will need an additional 1.1 million workers to develop and construct wind and solar parks, 1.7 million workers to operate and maintain them, 1.3 million additional workers in a whole variety of office and support roles. I mean, and the list goes on. Where is all this demand coming from? What's driving this demand? And what are we seeing as the skills that are most in demand, both now and moving forward?
These are indeed a huge number, as you mentioned, Mark. The renewable energy sector growth, which is driven by climate and energy crisis, is driving the renewable energy transition at a pace we didn't experience before. For this reason, we need to hire many skilled workers who are also in demand in other industries at the moment, such as the construction or automotive industry. As a result, we're already struggling to find enough workers to maintain current progress. That means also that we are competing with established sectors which benefit from their existing infrastructures, expertise, and policies. What would you like to add, Jose?
Hi, Sander. I think you made a very valid point, and it is in line with what Mark said before. I think what happens now is that this is something we have never experienced before. And in a way, we are some sort of overwhelmed, you know. So in the grid business, we have been suffering supply chain crisis from 2021, which has been more acute with the Ukrainian war crisis. Now we have issues everywhere with long reconnection queues everywhere. I mean, I cannot tell you any single country where this is not an issue. And finally, we have the skill shortage that we are also suffering, if you allow me to say. Focusing on the grid aspects, I think grid is one of the areas where skill shortage is more than a problem. Yeah? There are various reasons, and frankly speaking, electrical engineering has not been the most attractive degree, and the number of students has always remained low. Yes, to give you an example, when I studied electrical engineering, the master's degree in Valencia, we were only 8 people. Yeah? We could compare to mechanical engineers, they were over 100. But it is true to say that electrical engineering has not been always, let's say, the most preferred degree. Huh? But on the other hand, now there are not so many grid degrees. I mean, there's no any master's engineer's degree in grid, or you can find power systems. There are some initiatives for in Scotland, for example, for master engineering degree for smart grids. But it's not something you learn at the university. So grid is a very specific area. Okay, and the only way that for students to have their first contact with grid is through the first professional experience. That's a reality. So it's not an easy task.
That's right. That's right. I also can add that, like, you're right. I just said to add to this, what you said is this mean for us, right, as a HR in department within an organization, that we need to hire people also from different sectors and also people at headcount which are from other industry. However, we know that there are lots of skills we can learn on the job, right? And people with different skills also bring fresh air and fresh views into organization, and we can also benefit from them, right? The other point is also that we at BayWa r.e. And also in the renewable energies, there is a very limited talent pool, and job seekers outside are furiously fought over. For this reason, it's not only a challenge to attract them, but also to keep our employees. So this means for us that we have to take care about our employees and to take care about career development opportunities for our employees. So can you maybe share something from your experience, from your team?
Yeah, I think one of the points that makes BayWa different from our competitors or other companies into the same business is that most of the key activities, we undertake them internally. So in other words, we don't rely on external companies. I'm talking about some specific activities, for example, basic design, feed design, detail design. The same applies for the solar projects entity as well. So we have a large team of engineers, of grid engineers, and because we are in the full life cycle of a project, that means that when we hire grid engineers, we're not only competing against IPP or developers, we're also competing against consultancy companies and engineering companies. And that makes this talent competition very, very, very difficult.
And I guess we've always been competing against these other sectors, other industries. I mean, you think you mentioned the automotive one, obviously, is something well established and a well trodden career path. But it sounds like the issue is, or has been made so much more or worse or acute because of the speed at which now we need to accelerate, the speed at which the transition needs to grow to achieve and meet climate goals has made an already, you know, a skills gap much more significant.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, sometimes during the recruitment process, I feel that we are in a race, that every single week counts. Yeah, we cannot compare to what we've experienced before. But now, I mean, the recruiting process needs to be efficient and effective. We have to move very fast. And as I said, any single week of delay that make a difference, you know. So it's very challenging, yeah.
And are there geographical differences here? You know, are we seeing needs being more acute in particular regions, or Europe, the Americas, APAC, or is this just generally a global issue?
Yeah, right. This challenge is really global, like across EMEA, Americas, and APAC. We see the biggest needs for renewable employees in Europe and countries like Germany, France, Italy, Spain, and UK, but also US and Thailand. As you know, BayWa r.e. is active in many areas of renewable energies, such as project development, services, PV wholesale. We see a need in almost all areas and project phases, the largest currently for specialists in the field of IT, as well as monitoring and maintenance of wind, solar, or e-mobility projects. For professional groups with a technical background, we draw of same talent pools as classic energy suppliers, like automotive industry or large IT companies. And this is an issue, like I mentioned. So we really have less talent outside than we need.
I think... yeah, we do need those. I'm talking about from the grid team perspective. Yeah, we do need those resources everywhere globally. And we have the same issue everywhere globally. The only difference is that there are some countries where these talent identification or talent attraction or recruitment process is much more challenging than others. In our grid team, there is a correlation between team size and country pub. Okay, so our biggest teams are located in Germany, Spain, and UK, and we experience difficulties when hiring people. I can give you some examples. For example, in Germany, it is not easy to find a grid people, as there are over 800 distribution network operators or utilities that need grid planners, grid engineers, construction managers. In Spain, there is a huge race to complete over 50 gigawatts of wind and solar by mid-2025 because of there's a deadline in June 2025 to reach mechanical completion. And this is extremely human resource intense. In the UK, we have a similar situation. So it happens everywhere. You can find a difference in the new markets. And we do have an additional challenge. And that challenge is that Pava is not 100% settled in those new markets. You cannot compare Germany to any new markets where we are exploring opportunities. So that's the reason why in these new markets, we normally entry with external grid consultants and we have a defined strategy there. And remember something, a grid has been found recently as the key facilitator for the renewable integration. That's something that finally has been acknowledged. And we can certainly say that grid profiles has been traditionally placed in the utilities, either in the distribution network operator or transmission system operators. So let's say that there's a new concept of a grid engineer into the renewable sector, and that activity of hiring new people is extremely challenging.
And Jose, as you mentioned, I mean, getting the grid, increasing the grid, increasing capacity, developing new transmission lines. I mean, the amount of work needed and the time needed if we are going to, you know, achieve climate goals, keep the transition accelerating at the pace needed is huge. I mean, from where we are now, do you see the kind of time frame for achieving climate goals? A lot of those 2030 targets we were talking about, and the number of employees that are going to be needed, from where we are now today, are you seeing that as being achievable for the grid sector, or are we already in a case of, you know, we're moving too slowly, too late?
There are serious concerns that that the grid will be not ready for the net zero goals. Why is that? Well, because most of the, let's say, European network, like in countries in the UK, Germany, Spain, that network, that transmission network was built around 1970s. And this has not been much upgrade on those assets. You know, we have seen new highways everywhere, new roads, you know, urban development areas and so on, but that does not apply to the grid. So yeah, we do have serious concerns that the upgrade of the grid will not follow the net zero targets that we have. And that's why we're talking about flexibility. That's why we're talking about storage. That's why we're talking about any other measures, acknowledging that the deployment of this infrastructure will not be ready. And for that, we need people. And we need people on the utility side, and we do need people on the developers or IPP side. And that's another challenge. So there's also competition when hiring people with the utility sector.
And then given those complexities, given those challenges, I mean, you know, what can we do? What are we doing at BayWa RE? What can the sector, the industry do? How do we kind of address this challenge, attract new talent, and as you mentioned, importantly, then retain it?
Yeah. So, as we all know, our greatest asset are obviously our employees. So what we do, we try to be very attractive for our talents, but also to retain our current talent. We are, for example, committed to a flexible and international model to face the rapid growth in our organization and to stay competitive on the market. We train our people on job, and we have established in-house learning and exchange formats to reach that upskilling goal. And we empower personal and professional growth of our employees. We also offer lots of different opportunities to our employees to develop their strengths and their interests. And we help them to build skills, to move from one department to another, and to gain experience abroad and to grow their career in this way. What is also great for organization and where we see potential and where we see that we can attract people from outside is obviously our purpose, like for our planet. So this is very meaningful, and we can attract lots of talents with our purpose, and we communicate this attitude internally and externally, so that we are able to attract highly motivated and ambitious talents and to grow together with them.
And obviously that's what we can do as individual businesses. How do you see that more broadly in terms of, you know, how policymakers need to do the educational establishment? I mean, if this is a, you know, a sector-wide problem, a global problem, then obviously, you know, the industry or individual companies can't solve it by themselves. There's got to be a bigger coordination, collaboration across different parts of business and government and education if we're really going to address this in the time needed.
This is, like you said, that there's no way we can fix this problem very fast, right? So we have to do some significant changes in our politics, like in to carefully plan how to change our education and training programs. So we will need to transfer skills from the other sectors, and this cannot happen fast, right? Together with Solar Power Europe and with Europe, we are very engaged, and we try to identify the concrete upskilling and reskilling measures needed to achieve our ambitious goals and targets. That means that we try to change our laws, and we also placed some of our demands with regards to EU policy this year in March, where I was able to present our needs for changes in front of EU Commission. I can give you some examples what we ask for, right? And maybe three most important ones are: we would like to have or to establish an easier cross-border hiring and posting processes for our employees. That means that we need clear regulations for individual and corporate taxes, social security, employment law, and insurances. We would like to have a further development of workforce assignment, for example, A1, and to have a framework for posting of our employees. Then we also asked for harmonization of the processes. We asked for creation of more EU-wide industry standards, for EU cross-border acceptance of national certificates, as well as more flexibility for Europe-wide hosting concepts, which would make our lives easier. And as a third demand, we ask for more EU-wide initiatives for training and upskilling programs. So what we ask for is obviously to establish an EU degree for engineering at universities and to have some EU support for vocational trainings in the field of manufacturing, electricity, for energy roles. And the last point was that we really need fundamental upskilling programs across the industries to fuel skilled workers for renewable industry. So these are the demands we set together with our competitors in front of the EU Commission this year. So nowadays we work together and on a task force, right? And try to put the proposal for the EU Commission. And let's see, I really hope that we can that we can move something outside.
And all those points are well made. And 2023 is the European Year of Skills, and the EU's new Green Deal Industrial Plan lists skills as its third pillar. Jose, just picking up on what Sander said there, you know, how are you seeing that? How are you seeing, you know, what needs to be done? What needs to be attract more skilled workers? You know, is it happening? What else would you do? And do you think those calls to European commissioners are being heard?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would like to focus on the last point covered by Sander about the EU initiatives for regarding training in upskilling programs. As I said before, great knowledge normally is built on your first job. So for me, it's important that knowledge is created directly from the university. How this can be achieved, I think we need, or Europe, the European Union needs to create new grid-related master degrees. I think we need to strengthen the relationship between university and industry, which is something that has been, in some countries, is a bit weak or it's a bit disconnected. And I mean, I can give you some examples that we have in our grid team. So we have master thesis students in our team. Actually, we have two at the moment. And I think one of the initiatives which I found also quite useful and productive is the creation of new university chairs between industry and university, with a special focus on high voltage and grid connection. How we think we attract candidates. So in my recent experience, I think one of the aspects that attract candidates the most is the fact that BayWa r.e. are present in the whole life cycle of a project. So from very early phase, origination, until the end of life cycle, passing through development, tendering, execution or delivery, and O&M. And not only this, BayWa r.e.'s pipeline includes wind, solar, battery storage, offshore wind, hydrogen. So I think that's something very attractive for a candidate being part of our selection process. So in our specific case of grid department, although most of the grid team work locally in the respective countries, they are part of our wider EMEA team. So they are part of the grid EMEA team. And we recently launched the subject matter expert initiative, where we have identified experts in several electric engineering areas, and that expertise is shared across all the countries. So that means that you can be working on your own country, but if you're a subject matter expert in one topic and then, let's say, UK needs you, then you will be there. So we have that community, we have that knowledge shared. So they feel that they are part of a much wider international community, which could also bring future mobility opportunities.
So a question, yeah, to you both. I mean, if I am interested in a job in the renewables industry, you know, what can I do? Do you have some tips and some hints as to how I can get involved in the sector?
So right now we offer almost 80 positions where young professionals could be a great fit. As we operate with a company value, come as you are, we are very diverse team at work. So, as you know, we are present in more than 30 countries, more than 100 nationalities are working together. So different skill sets and experience level are to be seen through our legal entities. So we also like to learn from each other. So we welcome people from various backgrounds who might not have been in the renewable space either. So if you study renewables, take a look at our job board. If you work in another industry and look for a job with a real purpose, look at our job board again. Never stop learning. That's one of our messages we gladly bring across.
Yeah, so from the grid perspective, I would strongly recommend to someone interested in the grid connection or high voltage world to focus their career into this field. In grid teams, you can find not only electrical engineers, but also mechanical engineers, civil engineers, energy engineers, power systems engineers, planners. So there's no specific degree which would make you become a grid engineer. If I have to say something very specific, if I would have to give some tips, would be on the manufacturing industry. The current demand for high voltage equipment is extremely high. We don't only see a supply chain issue, But the major contributing factor is a skill mismatch. So there's also a skill shortage in the manufacturing industry of high voltage equipment.
Well, we are up on time. Thank you both for joining me. Obviously, we can keep talking and a lot more to discuss, and clearly a hugely important issue that we're going to be talking more about in the months to come. But thank you both for joining me.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for your time and this opportunity.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for this invitation and for this opportunity to share in our thoughts on this skill shortage.
So we are up on time on another Rethink Energy podcast. Thanks again to Sander and Jose for joining me. And thank you all for listening. Don't forget to check out other podcasts and content at rethink-energy.com, and speak to you all again soon. Bye-bye.